everyone. We're here for public forum. Public forum is an opportunity for the public to get up and speak about anything they'd like to discuss.
I'm dumbfounded as to what is the attraction to the developer to access our road. They've got a boulevard going out to Commerce, which has a red light at the end of it. But they want to come down our road, which has two stop signs, then you get out to the, you don't even get to Avalon Boulevard, you got to make a left or a right. If you want to go south on Avalon Boulevard, you go all the way down to the end of the frontage road and make a U-turn and come back. So what is the attraction to connecting to Ibis Road when you've got multiple access points?
That piece of property belongs to the county, to the citizens. They should be able to do with it what they want. If they don't want the road to go through, it shouldn't go through. It was voted. There's nothing else to be voted on. It's been voted on twice because somebody made a deal. Is not their fault. It's not their fault.
Ms. Chapman makes comment about that, you know, that's the, that roads or that section of land is owned by the county. It belongs to the people. That is absolutely right. It belongs to the people. It belongs to everyone in Santa Rosa County.
So, as I said, this is a very interesting public policy issue. We've been talking about it a lot this week. The Ibis Road, which is a dead-end street off of Avalon Boulevard, it's not off, it's actually not off of Avalon because it's separated by, you can't directly access to Avalon except if you go north or south. It's by the courthouse where the hangar is, where the helicopters, if you think about it. Anyway, the hangar, the restaurant, not the hangar where they put airplanes, just to be clear. They sell hangar steaks at the hangar, by the way, John. Do you ever go in there? No.
I do, but I haven't seen that on the menu.
Okay, I mean, it kind of should, right? Anyway, back to the actual point. So this is a question of a dead-end road that people have for years been fighting to keep a dead-end road because they like the dead-end road. They like the quiet. They like the peace. They like the not having throughput traffic. They like having where their kids or their grandkids can play, and I get it. And I'm on their side in this sense. Like, I appreciate that. On the other hand, there's a developer who has been told he could open a road to connect to them and through county property, what Sherry Chapman and Colton Wright there were talking about. And then they were told they could, and then they were told they couldn't. And so both sides have been promised things, and both sides have been had those promises broken. And so now they're going to go to court and try to figure this out. Where it stands currently is they cannot connect, okay? But Colton, I think, really raises a good question. He says, okay, yes, that land that could become a place for doing a connector road belongs to the people. But to which people? Does that land belong to the people of Ibis Road, the dead end street? And by the way, the reason I'm talking about this so much is because obviously it's an interesting issue on its own, but I will pay attention to these kind of land development issues when they crop up, wherever they crop up. But also, this is really the kind of thing that we see all the time. All the time. I mean, you see development behind property like Monarch Place in Escambia County. You had Johanna over there off of Woodbine where you had them putting a school back in there and talking about opening that up as a connector road. Like, this happens all the time. And really thinking through some of the implications of this way of developing land affects all of our quality of life. And so what Colton is getting at is, yes, the public owns that land, but who is the public? Because the people on Ibis Road feel like that land belongs to them. But the whole problem is that the land does not belong to them. They don't own it individually. Now, if they did, wouldn't have this problem. It's private land. We can stop this because it's private land. And that's always going to be your best answer. If you want to stop development, you better own the land. Because you don't really get to say what other people do with land that you don't own title to. Of course, even if you own title to it, eminent domain. You know, I mean, the people underneath I-110 at one time owned the land. You know, I mean, it's not always to own the land. But he's going to get into a conversation here that I think is tremendously interesting about what we should want for our roads, for connectivity, for dead-end streets. And I want to talk with you a little bit about this for some time because I think it really matters.
Mr. Chairman, I just want to go on the record. If asked to vote, I would not vote to support it. And the reason I wouldn't vote today is because I don't want it on the record saying I would never open Ibis Road, and here's why.
Because the people are all angry, the Ibis Road people are showing up in mass, and the commissioners, except for him, have all said, yeah, we want to oppose this, we want to stop this. And he's saying, I can't promise you that. Here's why.
If FDOT was to come and say, hey, we've got a reasonable, common sense plan for a traffic signal at the courthouse and tie it to that service road, then I would be the first to say Bedion Avenue needs to be opened up to Gulf Road, Admirals, Westmont, Ibis, and Gulf should all be opened.
And he's talking again about several of the roads in that area, turning what is now several dead-end streets east-west into several interconnected grid-type streets where you have north-south-east-west connectivity. Now, I think the objection that was raised in that first person's comment, David Young, in the beginning, just a citizen who lives in the area, is why do you want to make this connection anyway since you can't get to Avalon? Okay, but what Colton is saying is if we had a plan to solve that. Because right now that is a problem. The way that whole area is designed is terrible. But he's basically asking this question. Are we better off having interconnectivity and a grid where you have alternatives? Or are we better off having a series of dead-end streets where people each have their own, we feel safe and secure on our dead-end street? And I think that's a really interesting public policy question, the answer to which is not obvious. We'll talk about it more in just a second. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
Brought to you by Executive Landscaping. Call them today for all your commercial and premium landscaping needs. Just got a report of an accident that happened on Highway 90 right there in front of Hall's Hardware in Milton. So just be aware of that. From what I understand, it's pretty bad. Seeing traffic is backed up just a little bit right there from that earlier accident. Let's see here. We've got I-10. Computer cooperate. Okay, I-10 is actually flowing very smoothly along with I-10, and 29 is actually cleared up some. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Thanks so much, John. So if you are thinking about creating a great, beautiful, lush lawn this summer, the time to really be thinking about that is now. Like, it's starting to become urgent. If you want a better result this summer, in a month it's going to kind of be too late to make that happen, but now is really the time to do it. You give NSEC a call. They'll come out and take a look at your lawn, do a soil sample, and figure out what the specific amendments are that you need to get your lawn what it needs, time, program, targeted, to get your lawn the results that you're wanting. The initial estimate is completely free. Soil sample will tell you what you need. Nutrient applications with every standard service visit, along with seasonal pre-emergent weed control, broadleaf and grassy weed control, turf damaging insect control, and fungicide applications. You can also do landscaping with them if you want. You don't have to, but if you want to. If you sign up today, you get $100 off your first lawn application with any new annual lawn program, and that includes all that initial stuff and the lime treatment on an average-sized lawn. Find out more at NSEC, E-N-S-E-C. .net. Okay, back to this question about how to design roads. Should we be, A, trying to have roads that are dead ends and cul-de-sacs, which everybody who lives on a dead end in a cul-de-sac, you love it, okay, because it's quiet and you don't have cars rushing through because there's nowhere to go to, or should we have grids and interconnectivity? I'm going to give Colton Wright his chance to speak, and then I'm going to talk a little bit about this with you. 437-1620 if you want to have input.
And that's because, number one, our land development code, we hear all the time people say, we should follow our code. Our rules matter. Land development code matters. You guys keep going against the code. The code specifically and clearly requires and promotes interconnectivity. And why is that? It's for better traffic flow. It's for better public safety. Better emergency response times.
Because if the police or EMS or fire can get to the location through multiple avenues, literally, that's better for everybody because they have multiple ways to get there.
For anyone that has ever lived someplace that has roads that are on a grid system, let's just take the neighboring county. If you've ever gone through East Hill in Pensacola, I grew up there. You know what I've never, ever, ever seen in East Hill? Never seen a traffic jam. Not once. Why is that? I've never seen 12th Avenue, which is kind of a thoroughfare, Cross Street, 17th Avenue, or 9th Avenue, backed up to the point where no one was moving. It was gridlock. It's because you have an infinite number of options to go turn right here, go left here, take a different road.
And we understand, everybody understands how inconvenient it is from a lifestyle point of view. If you have a home on a street that dead ends and then it gets opened up to development, nobody loves that. But when you don't do that, you create the very traffic problems that everybody is talking about they hate.
I think I would love to go back and change the way we've done it. I think this ridiculous idea that we build these neighborhoods with cul-de-sacs and one way in and out somehow made people feel like they were safer at home, and all we did was funnel everyone out to the main roads and create the very traffic problem that everyone complains about. I mean, at some point we got to take the emotion out. We got to start looking at, like, who's responsible and how do we get here and how do we fix it going forward? Because frankly, it's bad street design and closed subdivisions.
So I find myself very conflicted on the subject, and I'll just tell you some sort of personal examples. When we lived in Arizona, I lived on a street that was a cut through that people used, and they drove down that street too fast, and it was infuriating. Because if you've ever lived on a street, especially with young kids, which we had at the time, and people drive down your street as a cut through, it'll drive you crazy. Okay, that's inconvenient. I've also lived in areas where it was like a dead end, basically. And it's nice because you can go play tennis in the street and you can go, you know, just you don't have to worry. If somebody's driving down your street and you don't recognize the car, you're like, what's happening here? You know, it's very nice. I have bought homes in deliberate defense against being able to build behind me. Right? Okay. That's as a homeowner. What about as a driver? Well, we live in an area where there's a lot of water. A lot of water means a lot of bridges. A lot of bridges mean that there's only one way on and off places. What does that create? When there's a wreck or there's high volume, what's the problem? It's always a catastrophe. Why is that? Because they don't have a grid, because you don't have alternatives, because there's no way to solve around it. When you have alternatives, like, say, Cervantes, you have all kinds of ways around. Like, say, Pace, you have all kinds of ways around. Highway 90, in some areas you have ways around, in some areas you do not. Right? When he says East Hill, right? Lots of ways around. The problem with, for example, out on Pensacola Beach, no real alternatives. If the main road gets clogged, that's all you got. So the problem with cul-de-sac dead-end streets is they make it so you can't work around a problem, and if there's a lot of volume, there's no other solution. Now, as a driver, I like there to be alternatives. The problem is, you know, I live sort of in the vicinity of, like, West Florida High School, Brown Barge, okay? So you have a lot of interconnectivity options there to avoid Airport, to avoid Burgess. Of course, Burgess becomes a nightmare twice a day with the school. Palafox is an inadequate road, okay, to take a particular example. It's just inadequate volume. It cannot handle the volume that it deals with during rush hour and especially during the school times. So what you have is a bunch of back roads like Sarah, Confederate, Oakfield. And if you know the area, you know the area. And if you don't, I apologize for telling you things that you don't relate to. But I'm just giving you, there's a kind of a grid system available. And drivers use it. It's very convenient. Now, if you live on Sarah, you hate the fact that people use your road as a cut through. If you live on Confederate or if you live on, Oakfield, you hate that people use it as a cut through because it sucks to have people drive past your home that you don't know. So what does the county do? Well, the county realizes that it created a grid. People use it. The residents don't like it, so they came in and put speed bumps. Speed humps. To make it very unpleasant to drive those roads for residents and non-residents alike. So what do? Well, you go a different way, because who wants to handle the 6 speed tables they put in on Oakfield between Burgess and Palafox? A ridiculous decision. But you count them in that area, like all around 29, and that, look, they're everywhere. It's like, it's almost like somebody got paid a commission to put in speed humps. I'm not saying that, but it feels that way. Like, there are so many. There's like 50 in the vicinity. Trust me, I've driven all these streets. Okay, so what does that do? That eliminates your grid. It's good for the people who live on the streets that don't have a lot of through traffic anymore. It makes it safer for your kids, your bicycle, and walking to the park. But as a driver, it creates congestion. Now Airport's a mess. Now Palafox is a mess. Now Burgess is an utter catastrophe. 5 times a day, because people will avoid the pain of dealing with the speed hump. So that's your problem. It's not that they eliminated the grid, but they made the grid unusable. They destroyed the streets they spent so much time building. Why do I bring all of this up? Well, what Colton Wright is getting at is, if you think for the whole community, then grids make sense. They really do. But if you think for the individual homeowner, especially one who's already bought on a dead-end street, grids are the enemy. grids are killing me with all of this through traffic. So which one is the right answer? It's not obvious. But that's the right question. Generally speaking, I side with grids. Generally speaking, I side with, hey, if you want to control property development, you got to own it. And if you don't own it, you cannot control it. And you can't complain when people develop it the way you don't like because you didn't own it in the first place. But it is absolutely inconvenient for the people who live in those places where they thought they had a quiet, rural, nested setting, and then it turns out not to be that. It's annoying. 437-1624. I just wanted to kind of walk you through some of this because this affects every homeowner at some point in your life, good and bad. And we tend not to think comprehensively about this problem. We just think about how much I don't like this slice of whatever I'm experiencing. And, of course, commissioners and city council and planners and road designers are trying to think about all of these issues and they really are trying to make it good for everybody as much as possible. And, of course, you cannot make it good for everybody because somebody's going to be angry no matter what you do. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
No accidents to report to you right now. If you're on I-10, I-110, it's looking good. Even Highway 29 is back flowing again, seeing some minor delays. If you're on 98 westbound, just west of the Garcon Point Bridge, seeing about a 5 to 7 minute slowdown through that construction zone. But other than that, we are looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
One last quick note on this. You hear a lot of people say, I am not opposed to growth. I just want smart growth. And maybe they mean that. But a lot of times what they actually mean is, I'm not opposed to growth as long as it hurts somebody else. I mean, that's the truth. Nobody wants to pay the price of inconvenience for the growth that affects them. So it's very nice to say, I believe in growth as long as it's smart growth, when again, a lot of times that is just code for not in my backyard or front yard. I want the growth as long as I don't have to pay the consequence of having it, which sometimes you do have to pay the cost of having the thing.
You take care of your car, right? So why not give your auto loan some TLC? Refinance an existing loan from another institution with Pinnair Credit Union and lower your interest rate by up to 2%. Plus, you can skip payments for the first 90 days. In addition to a better rate, you'll enjoy convenient banking and a friendly local team always ready to help. Learn more at Pinnair.org/auto-refi. That's Pinnair.org/auto-refi. All loans are subject to approval. Offer valid on loan application submitted between April 1st and June 30th, 2025 only. Call toll-free 1-877-4-PIN-AIR for complete details.
You ever try fixing your car and realize you're missing that one part? Yeah, been there. That's why eBay's my go-to. They've got millions of parts, guaranteed to fit. I'm talking brake pads for when yours have seen one too many miles of stop and go. Oil filters, because you don't mess around with your engine care. Even got this cold air intake on my watch list? I might just go for it. To keep the ride cool and your DIY streak hot. Find all the parts you need at prices you'll love. Guaranteed to fit every time. eBay. Things. People. Love. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Is your business, church organization, civic group, school, or other nonprofit organization having a fundraiser or other community event? Let News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 help you spread the word. Send us your information to be presented on our Here's What's Happening weekly announcements. We look forward to hearing from you. Submit your events at newsradio923.com.
When breaking news hits, we're there to cover it. Fox News, WEAR-TV, News Radio team on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I'm Tom Bodatin. We'll leave the light on for you.
Into the the B-sides today. I love it. Digging a little deep in the Creedence collection. 8:29 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
The U.S. is now prosecuting migrants who enter the country through a newly created military zone along the southern border in New Mexico. Court filings submitted on Monday show the Department of Justice has so far charged 28 people with violations of security regulations for entering that zone. At least two people have died after severe weather in the Pittsburgh area. Wind gusts there of around 70 miles an hour knocked over trees and power lines on Tuesday night. The two deaths are being blamed on that storm, including one man who was electrocuted by live electrical wires. And there's a new tool using artificial intelligence that's been able to diagnose arthritis with 98% accuracy. Researchers in South Korea say the system analyzes fluid and joints to distinguish between osteoarthritis and rheumatoid arthritis. The report was published in the journal Small.
The arthritis and related questions is the kind of thing that as a 20-year-old I thought, don't need to worry about that. As a 54-year-old, I'm like,
This is getting more and more interesting.
Tell me more about this diagnostic tool. And as somebody who comes from a family that has, you know, historically had the arthritis issues, so your perspective changes as you age on lots of things. Thanks for the update, David.
Foster. President Trump meets with his cabinet this morning and business executives this afternoon back at the White House after a first 100 days rally in Warren, Michigan.
What the world has witnessed in the past 14 weeks is a revolution of common sense. That's all it is, really. We're conservative. You're conservative, you're liberal, whatever the hell. You know what it's all about? It's about common sense.
Senate Democrats gave anti-Trump speeches all night. The Supreme Court hears arguments today about publicly funded religious education.
The Supreme Court will be hearing an Oklahoma-based case that could allow for the nation's first religious charter school. That measure could also greatly expand taxpayer funding for religious education. Justices will weigh if St. Isidore of Seville Catholic Virtual School, which is privately run but publicly funded, can offer a religious education.
It's Fox's Todd Pyro. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 8:31 at News Radio 92.3. Right now we've got 77 and cloudy skies here in Pensacola. The Pace military veteran that claims to have been wrongfully charged with theft by a local Walmart store has now filed a lawsuit against that store. 35-year-old Brent Shavnor, he was charged with theft back in October. The store claimed he'd returned a gutted computer and stolen the parts. Those charges, though, were dropped by the state attorney's office, citing insufficient evidence. In February, Shavnor is being represented by attorney Joe Zarzar. Escambia County deputies were called to Warrington Preparatory Academy yesterday after a student with a gun was reported on campus. Deputies responded, and they say they did locate the firearm. There were no shots fired. The incident is still under investigation. There are no reported charges that have been filed as of yet. The Florida Senate voting 31-7 to confirm Rodney Barreto and his reappointment as chairman of the Fish and Wildlife Commission. This comes despite some concerns from environmental groups about ties to development interests. Critics say development plays too large a role on the commission. Supporters, though, highlight Barreto's efforts in coral reef protection and invasive species management. Well, more than 40 water rescues were reported on Pensacola Beach over the last weekend. Officials say there's been a lot of rip current activity.
We don't create the chaos, but we try to manage it as best as we can. And I think we did a really good job of the work that all the lifeguards did on Saturday.
Pensacola Beach Water Safety Chief Dave Greenwood, and he says 25 lifeguards were on the beach last weekend. That number will be going up soon. Many of those lifeguards are students, and Greenwood says they'll be putting in more hours once they're done with school for the year. City officials say a state grant for restroom facilities at Veterans Memorial Park has been extended due to some unforeseen project delays.
If you recall, we received the $750,000 grant from the state. That grant has been extended to June 2026, and we have that agreement in hand. So we obviously shared with them some of the delays that were out of our control. But that project continues to move forward, and now we have an extended year to be able to get this done.
Mayor D.C. Reeves, he said soil testing resulted in those delays because they'll require a heftier foundation. That facility will be on the northwest side of the park near where the old restroom trailer was located. Well, there's an investigation underway after a two-seater airplane, or seaplane rather, crashed into Crescent Lake in Putnam County. Investigators say it happened near Bear Island. A pilot and co-pilot were safely rescued. And Florida is set to become the second state in the U.S. now to ban fluoride in public drinking water. the state house passing an agriculture bill Tuesday to prohibit water quality additives in public water systems.
What we argue is that we can't force you to have it or any other drug that some simple majority may believe is good for you in the future.
Danny Alvarez, a state representative, he was the sponsor of the bill. The measure has already cleared the Senate. Governor Ron DeSantis is expected to sign it into law. If he does, it would go into effect on July 1st. 8:35 at News Radio, and John Pickens has our traffic on the fives.
Brought to you by Insect Pest and Lawn. Get your yard spring ready with $100 off your first treatment with the new annual contract. Call Insect today. Not seeing any new accidents to let you know about. I-10, I-1, 10 are flowing smoothly. Even Highway 90 and 98 are actually rolling really good this morning. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, John. Now our Channel 3 forecast.
We are going to be looking at a beautiful day today with partly cloudy skies, high near 82 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 70. For Thursday, partly cloudy skies, high near 82. Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 70 degrees. Keeping a chance of rain on that Friday, 50% chance of some showers, maybe a thunderstorm, high near 82. Friday night, temperatures dropping near 68. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Nice and warm this morning, 77 degrees right now with partly cloudy skies this morning. Your next news at 9 and breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3. And your money now this morning. Our markets are down at the opening bell. The Dow's down 437 points at 40,090. S&P down 85 points at 5475. NASDAQ down 373 points at 17,088. 10-year bond rate down a bit, 4.166%. Gold prices down 22.20, 33.11.40. Silver prices down 68 cents at 32.60. And the crypto market all down as well today. Bitcoin down 877 at 94.479. Ethereum's down 52.38 at 17.71. Solana's down. Dogecoin down a fraction of a cent today. XRP down 12 cents as well. The U.S. economy contracted slightly in the first quarter of this year. According to gross domestic product data being released just today, the GDP, the sum of the value of goods and services produced in the nation fell 3% over the last year. Growth originally had been predicted by economists, but outlooks revised to negative thanks to a reaction to President Trump's global tariffs. President Trump was in Michigan yesterday speaking in the heartland of the big three U.S. automakers, also marking his first 100 days in office. His remarks come after Commerce Secretary Howard Lutnick announced a deal to ease auto tariffs. He signed an executive order allowing vehicles that go through assembly in the U.S. to qualify for partial reimbursements. Starbucks opening a new store in South Texas. The whole store was 3D printed. It was in Brownsville. A large 3D printing machine made panels for the store's outer shell using a concrete-like material. Windows, doors, and a porch were then built to complete the concept. The store is about 1,400 square feet and has no indoor seating. 8:38. Your next news at 9 and breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
Hey, Escambia. Today, ECUA is talking trash.
Specifically, bulk waste.
July 1st, 2023, bulk service changed to call for pickup. Schedule a pickup by calling the ECUA customer service department anytime before 2 p.m. on the day prior to your normal pickup day. Bulk pickup is still included at no additional charge. Schedule a free bulk waste or special pickup for construction debris for an additional fee. Call customer service at 850-476-0480. More information at ecua.fl.gov.
Know what to throw, 850.
You know, if you're thinking about that next vehicle, or maybe almost like avoiding thinking about it, like you know it's coming, but you just don't really want to deal with it, probably part of your apprehension is you don't enjoy the process of buying a car. And nobody does. I mean, John's a weirdo, he does, but most of us, we really hate this process. And especially if it's used cars, because we feel like, oh my gosh, who can I trust? Who's going to help me? Okay, Frontier Motors. I recommend them. Dave Ramsey recommends them. All of the bumper stickers and license plate frames you see driving around recommend them. Just go and ask. You know, don't go in with any preconceived ideas, and you don't have to buy from them. I mean, I don't know what's going to turn out for you, but just think of them as a resource that you can ask. They see hundreds, even thousands of cars every year, and you can ask them, what features do people like? What models and makes do people like? What things hold up well? What don't hold their value? What are you seeing in the kinds of cars I'm looking for? Because they will be able to tell you and help you figure out what you're really going to be happy with. And then if they've got it, buy it. If they don't have it, you can send them to go looking for it and, you know, whatever. But at least consider them as a resource that you can ask questions of. Anything related to cars. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years, right behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
Join Acupuncture and Wellness of Pensacola this Friday at 9 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Dr. Rebecca Gibbons will be here to answer your questions about the many benefits of acupuncture. If you suffer from chronic back pain, neuropathy, or joint pain, or even stress and anxiety, this is a show you will not want to miss this Friday at 9 with Acupuncture and Wellness of Pensacola on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Text or call with your questions, 850-437-1620.
Are you ready for a triple dose of wit, insight, and laughter? Tune in to News Radio Pensacola for the Markley, Van Camp, and Robin Show from 11 to 2. Your daily dose of engaging conversation and hilarious banter. Join Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, and Scott Robbins as they tackle the biggest news stories, pop culture moments, and everything in between. They'll keep you entertained, informed, and laughing out loud from start to finish. Don't miss a minute of the fun. Tune in to the Markley, Van Camp, and Robin Show, 11 till 2 on News Radio Pensacola.
Everybody was kung fu fighting.
I admire your deductive processes.
Ooh, yeah. I'm gonna have to go ahead and sort of disagree with you there.
Oh, idiot.
Food fight!
Gentlemen, you can't fight in here. This is the war room.
This conversation can serve no purpose anymore. Goodbye.
All right, before we get too far into this, which is to start it all, I have to ask a question, a preliminary question. So this is a part one and a part two, okay? I love the look of total despair that crosses Meg's face when we start the Transgressors. Like, she's so excited to be a part of this, and she so hates being a part of this all at the same time. I love it so much. Okay, so quick question. Do you eat grapefruit? John, are you a grapefruit fan?
Nope.
You're out of this conversation.
Okay,
all right. Good. So, Meg, are you a grapefruit fan?
No.
Oh.
But then what kind of conversation are we going to have
this
then?
It's going to be a little bit harder than
one-sided.
I imagined. Okay. Well, I'll ask the question anyway, knowing in advance this is going to be terrible. 437-1620.
I mean, I can tell you why. It was all the grapefruit diets.
Oh, okay. So you were force-fed or self-force-fed or whatever.
A little bit of both, Mom.
Okay. Oh, all right. All right. See, to me, grapefruit was always a treat growing
up.
So
she might
halfway answer the question. Now that grapefruit is so expensive, it's infuriating.
Because mm-hmm.
It used to be like avocados. You could buy 50 for a buck, and now, you know, it's like, here's my bank statement. Okay. So anyway, I'll ask the question since I found out it's not going to work, but I'm committed. What's the right way to eat a grapefruit? 437-1620. 437-1620. What is the right way to eat a grapefruit? There are a lot of ways, and you might never have thought about the alternatives, and that's why we do this, because we make you think about things you never think about. So, John, since you hate grapefruit and life in general, what is the...
Very nice.
Aww.
What's the right way to...
I can cut him off.
What's the right way to eat a grapefruit?
You know, you do have the power, John.
I know.
It is true. He has the big button.
What is the right way?
Yeah.
Just don't eat.
Okay. Meg, what is the right way to eat a grapefruit?
When I ate them.
Yes.
Cut it in half.
Which way?
In half.
Which way in half?
So that it's, how do I answer that question?
Okay. North pole, south pole, okay, is the two nubs, okay?
If this is the
you
north
cutting
pole
along
south,
the equator, or are you cutting it north and south? When you get done.
Equator.
Okay, so crosswise to the sections.
About that for a minute. Okay, equator.
Okay,
all
so
right.
you're cutting it, so the sections are all cut in half.
Correct.
Okay, so on the equator. All right, fair enough.
So
and
then I use a very cool grapefruit spoon.
With the little ridges?
It's got like
the serrated tip?
Yeah, it's like a
teaspoon
fork
with a serrated
on that. So that helps, enables you then to dig in and take a bite.
Okay.
Now my dad would cut it in half. He would cut a circle around the edge and then cut up all the individual
bites. He would
bites.
Individually slice each part of the membrane from the flesh.
Everything.
So that when you went in with your spoon, you got a clean break and everything came out nice and neat.
It sounds like that's what you do.
It is what I do. Finally, before we get too far into this, when you get all done, do you just throw out what you haven't eaten or do you squeeze the juice into the bowl and then drink the bowl like a dog?
Throw it out.
Oh, my pearls. Oh, it's just...
Whoa, this guy.
4, 3, 7, 16, 20. How do you eat a grapefruit? 4, 3, 7, 16, 20.
You know, I'm always amazed at the things he's passionate about.
It's always fun to be passionate about silly things. It really is, because there's no risk involved. Okay. Somebody says, what's the right way to eat a grapefruit? Gross.
Amen. Well, hallelujah.
I will say this. Grapefruit needs sugar.
It needs more than that.
And grapefruit needs sugar, and in fact, a little bit of cinnamon sugar is a delightful topping to a grapefruit.
Right, the luxury of someone that gets to eat grapefruit who's not on a diet.
That's right, not for dieting purposes. You can add the sucrose to your fructose, and you can be all happy. Yeah, no. So I'm with you. Sucrose, or the dextrose, I'm not sure which dextrose. One. I always forget which one is which. Anyway, I know fructose is naturally occurring, generally. Okay, 4, 3, 7, 16, 20. John Pickens, who's complaining and grumpy and hates grapefruit, has traffic on the fives.
Oh.
I wasn't complaining yet. You didn't bring any in.
Stupid
so
grapefruit. Well, if I brought this food in, you wouldn't eat it.
I'd just make fun of your spork. But other than that.
No, that's Meg. Meg is, I am not a fan
of
the serrated
spork?
Teaspoon.
I don't recall it being called a spork, but that probably could work.
David Wayne looks like he wants to get in, but he has to wait for the traffic report. Go ahead, John.
That's right. On I-10 eastbound between Pine Forest and Highway 29, we've got a disabled vehicle that's in the roadway causing roadblock along with an accident that happened. So if you are just east of I-10 going eastbound...
He's literally gesturing with his hands to the audience that can't see you.
Going that way.
It's going my hands way. Go on, sir. Go on.
Headed toward I-110, you can experience about a 20-25 minute delay through that area, and traffic is starting to back up eastbound.
You feel completely blocked now, like you can't move your hands, and now you can't talk
about
it properly.
I talk a lot with my hands. That's why you're making fun of me.
I love it. Oh, man. If you want to get, what's the old joke? If you want to get an Italian to shut up, tie his hands, right? You know?
Oh boy.
Come on.
I haven't heard that
one,
sir.
We can't tell ethnicity jokes anymore? Come on now. All right, David Wayne, you wanted to get in here. Well, go ahead.
No, I was out of the room, so I don't even know what's going on here.
Oh,
but I'll gladly chime in.
Oh,
what's
right.
What's the?
He was just enjoying the atmosphere. Right,
what's
fair enough.
The frivolous?
The question
topic
of the day is: what's the right way to eat a grapefruit?
A grapefruit?
Yeah.
I don't know that I've ever ate a grapefruit.
See? Bingo.
Okay. Cut his mic off.
That's on my bingo card.
4, 3, 7, 16, 20. Back to this in a second. Meanwhile, if you have a company, you have employees, Italian or otherwise. If you have employees, and you have to because I made an Italian. Okay. You have to manage benefits. You have to manage health insurance, dental, vision, life, disability, HR tools, resource, payroll, all that stuff. Torgerson Cawsey. I mean, they're fantastic. We've been using them for about 4 years here at News Radio in Cat Country, and they have been great with options and plans and choices and stuff we didn't have before. And I hate to say it, but great customer service. Like, we ask them questions, they have answers. They always get back to us. They, you know, answer my wife's hard question because she's an engineer. She asks hard questions. They give good answers. Anyway, they have been fantastic. Thumbs up from both McKays. 433-9996, or check them out online at tcbenefitsgroup.com. All right, back to the question of the day, which is the grapefruit question. And look, if you're a grapefruit hater, and that's fine, there's a place for you producing this show. But you don't have to weigh in. I want to know how you eat a grapefruit if you do eat a grapefruit. And my main question is, does anybody eat it like they eat an orange?
Ooh.
Because typically the way you eat an orange is you peel and then you separate the slices, and then you eat a slice one at a time, right? That's the way you typically eat an orange?
That's how I eat a tangerine.
Or a tangerine,
mm-hmm.
Okay.
Because oranges don't really do that very easily.
Some do, some don't, okay? Yeah. But nobody, you rarely eat a grapefruit that way, whether because the skin is too thick or because it just seems weird to have a big slice of grapefruit like that, but you could, and I'm curious if anybody does. Of course, the flip side question is, but why don't you cut an orange along the equator and eat it with a spoon? 4, 3, 7, 16, 20. Somebody says the right way to eat a grapefruit is to not eat a grapefruit. Somebody said, oh, peel and eat. All right. See, there are a few people. Somebody said, oh, a second one, peel it and eat it like an orange. Sprinkle some sugar on it and eat it. Amen. Slice it in half, equator-wise, I assume. Sprinkle sugar over it, then use pointed grapefruit spoon. That's the serrated spoon spork you were talking about, Meg, to scoop out the pieces. I feel like the serrated spoon spork is something that grandma always had.
No, that seemed new to me. That was like a new thing.
Oh, it was my grandma had those.
Because we always struggled with the spoon.
Lived in Florida. No. Which is what drives me to cut the membranes with the knife and then to cut around like you said your dad used to do. And then a spoon does a fine job.
Right, because it wasn't a spork.
Somebody
You haven't eaten at Taco Bell because that's where I see them the most.
Really?
Did they sell Sporks at Taco Bell?
They give them to you.
Grapefruit?
Ones, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no,
right.
They did.
I hadn't thought about that.
In the day, still?
Yes, they're still there. Had one
I don't need
the other
anything
day.
That needs a utensil at a Taco Bell. Somebody says, let's see, same thing. Use the pointy grapefruit spoon after you've put all the sugar on top and cut it in half like the equator. I like to cut mine in half, add the sugar, and use a regular spoon to eat it. There you go. Is nobody using their knives? Nobody seems to be like me where they use the... And it's not a butter knife. It's got to be a steak knife to be sharp enough.
Really?
Yeah, butter knife doesn't really do the trick. It certainly won't do the round to the outside kind of part. I grew up with a grapefruit tree in my backyard. Now you're making me jealous. And ate them all the time. I am with Meg's dad and Andrew. I drink the juice. It can be squeezed out. Yes. In a perfect world, I would have my culinary staff peel the grapefruit and carefully remove the large segments of pulp for consumption. Somebody says that the way I eat a grapefruit is I throw it in the trash and order a pizza.
See, there's a person
that's
suffering.
The
see, that's
best
a John
part.
Answer.
That's what I would have done.
But they're suffering. The pizza part, see, that's a clue because they're suffering from PTGS, post-traumatic grapefruit diet syndrome.
Okay. All right. I
that's
see
because
you.
When they threw in that, they said they threw it out and replaced with a pizza.
Yeah.
That's somebody that was put on
it's
grapefruit.
It's trauma. That was somebody who was ordered to eat grapefruit.
Correct.
Somebody says grapefruit is meant
to
be ornamental.
About this in like a session.
People don't actually eat those, do they? Somebody says, why do people slice it open and not peel it like the other far superior citrus? Cut it in half, sprinkle sugar on top, and then each grapefruit spoon. Somebody says, no, the viewers appreciate your traffic gestures.
The viewers.
Well,
sick
you
burn.
Know what? Thank you.
Oh,
no.
Sick burn.
Thank you, because that
No, that wasn't
me.
A compliment, John.
No, it was a compliment. I'm taking it as a
viewers.
Compliment.
Anyway, okay. Oh, there's a grapefruit knife. Somebody sent me a Pampered Chef grapefruit knife. I'm definitely not buying that. I don't need more devices.
Oh, I've actually seen those now that you say that. Yes, I've seen that before.
So somebody put salt, not sugar. Well, salt brings out the flavor of things.
I've put salt on watermelon.
Yeah, I've done that. Now I'm tempted to try it, and I'm probably going to hate it. But, you know, I'll give it a shot. Last one for the segment. Does anybody actually enjoy eating grapefruit? Those who eat grapefruit always have unusual facial expressions, nearing the look of pain.
It's always Sonny's here. This is Eldon with Sonny's Barbecue. When you're ready for slow smoke barbecue prepared by local pitmasters since 1968, it's always Sonny's. Visit us at 4 convenient locations in the News Radio area. Pine Forest, Navy Boulevard, 9th Avenue, and in Pace on Highway 90. With $10 big deals and all-you-can-eat ribs for only $19.99 every day. Kids eat free every Saturday, and don't forget that good old banana pudding. All served with a heaping portion of Southern hospitality. Open daily at 10:45. And remember, it's always Sonny's here.
Pensacola Navy Days is presented by Navy Federal Credit Union and the Pensacola Ice Flyers. May 9th through 11th, join us as we honor the pride and dedication of our military community and Pensacola's military heritage. Start the celebration Friday, May 9th at AC Reed for the inaugural Pensacola Navy Days Golf Tournament or at the Black Tie Night at the Museum Gala. Saturday, May 10th, we'll take to the streets for the Pensacola Navy Days 4K race and parade, then head over to Plaza de Luna for Family Fun Fest. Get the details and tickets at PensacolaNavyDays.com.
Start your mornings off informed with all things Pensacola on the Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
But and I said, I don't care if they lay me off either, because I told Bill that if they move my desk one more time, then I'm quitting. I'm going to quit.
I don't normally go back after the break, but I did have somebody text me in and say, it's called a spife.
It's a spork. Okay, come on. It's a spork.
853, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I love that term, a spife. That's fantastic. All right, so in case you have not been following the bicker war between the White House and Amazon, here goes.
White House addressing a report that Amazon will start showing a little number next to the price of each product, indicating how much the Trump tariffs are adding to the cost of each item.
This is a hostile and political act by Amazon. As Reuters recently wrote, Amazon has partnered with a Chinese propaganda arm. So this is another reason why Americans should buy American.
An Amazon spokesperson disputed the reporting, saying showing price impacts by tariffs was never a consideration.
Okay, so there's the truth of the story, and then there's the analysis of the story that isn't actually true. You follow? No. Okay. Here's the story. Amazon didn't actually do this. So it's kind of all premised on a misunderstanding. What was the name of the thing? It's Amazon. What's their, what is it called?
Amazon Haul.
Amazon Haul. H-A-U-L.
Yes.
It's not a great radio word because it's hard to say clearly. But Amazon Haul is like the Amazon Temu.
Yes.
It's like the regular things they have on super discount, but they don't have a lot of things.
They're like knockoffs.
Yeah.
I'm basically going to call it what it is.
Well, you said you went looking for a phone stand.
A phone stand.
That was $12 you paid on Amazon. You looked up the same thing this morning on Amazon Haul that none of us had ever heard of, and all of a sudden it's $2 there.
Yes.
I went looking on Amazon Haul for just to show me what you got, and I kept getting, we don't have anything like that. And I'm thinking,
yeah,
on Amazon.
Yeah, but you did a search. On the Haul page, you can just scroll down.
So I can look at it like a grocery ad.
Yeah, basically.
Okay. Because I know when you go to Amazon and you're like, what about this? And they're going to offer you 1,000 things you didn't even ask for on Amazon Haul. It's like, no, we don't have any, sir, which I think is a weird answer. So it was meant to be on that, which is like the discount site. It wasn't meant to be on the regular Amazon page. But okay, let's imagine that it was. Let's imagine they were going to put an item. So you pull up your whatever it is. Let's call it a $100 item from Mass Simplicity. And then it lists $100 and then it would... Well, it should, but it doesn't. You know, $15 for shipping unless you have Prime, $6 for Florida state sales tax, which should be a line item as well. And then, you know, tariff impact. Because, look, some things come from China, and they're going to, you know, it's a $100 item, and it's going to cost you $145 in tariff. Some things come from, you're ordering a Canadian car part, and it's going to cost you $125. And some things are going to come from, you know, Brazil, and it costs you $110. Whatever. It should have... Like, that's what they were kind of implying, was that it would have a tariff line item so that you would know what the cost was. And the White House lost their mind. Talk about it more in just a second. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
Rolling back to accident-free right now. Not seeing anything that's going to slow you down. I-10, I-110 are actually flowing smoothly again. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. And I thought, I would love this if I'm a consumer. I want information as a consumer. And look, if... there's a sales tax, I want to know the sales tax. And if there's a shipping cost, I want to know the shipping cost. And if there's a tariff imposed and I'm having to pay for it, I want to know the cost. What's the problem? Well, the problem is that the White House has told us this narrative that tariffs, instead of raising costs, lower costs, which is economic nonsense. Like, that's just purely false. Tariffs obviously raise costs to somebody. The only question is whether you as the end consumer pay all of it, some of it, or whether the manufacturer or it's the importer usually just eats it. Well, you know, that will depend on each item. But for Amazon to tell you, instead of, like, you know, let's say a lighting fixture you were going to buy was going to be $25. Well, some places have raised them. Now they're like 50 in anticipation of the tariffs because we get a lot of stuff from China. Okay. Well, what if Amazon, you know, just doubled the price? And you're like, oh my God, everything's so expensive. Well, what if they put $25 plus a $25 tariff fee? I don't get why this is a problem unless you don't want people to understand that tariffs cost the end consumer money. Now, what you can make as an argument if you're the White House, and they have tried to, and you know, Trump made it yesterday in his speech and yesterday in his ABC News interview, that long-term tariffs work. Long-term tariffs bring back jobs, lower prices. Long-term tariffs make us more competitive in the global economy. They will avoid us offshoring. They will, all kinds of benefits will come from this, including national defense, national security, all kinds of benefits. But as the ABC guy was asking him, but short-term pain, right? And Trump doesn't want to say that, even though that's the truth. Now, whether you believe the tariffs will work long-term or not, whether you believe this way of implementing them, which has been very herky-jerky and inconsistent and backtracking and hokey-pokey, you know, like, we got our left tariff in and our left tariff out. Like, it's, who can know what's even going on? Will that work? Who knows? But as I've said many times, I'm willing to give him the benefit of the doubt. Let's see. Because we are on this path, and you're not going to stop him. Let's see how it turns out. So I don't know whether tariffs will work long-term, but I don't know anybody who understands economics who thinks that tariffs make for lower costs in the short term. That's how? Like, how would that be possible? That's not possible. So to me, this is opposing Amazon, which isn't a real story because it's not actually happening, opposing Amazon for putting a piece of information that is accurate that helps people understand the cost of items that they may genuinely not know where it comes from and therefore genuinely may not know why this one is so much and this one is so little. Because, I mean, frankly, this could facilitate the White House's plan of avoiding Chinese goods. Because you see that they cost more, and so we want to go buy the Brazilian one or the Nigerian one or the one that's made in the UK or whatever. So it's a weird place to plant your flag and want to die on this hill over preventing people from getting information that is, again, basically accurate. Unless you've told them some nonsense about how tariffs are going to reduce the cost of things short term.